Okay, welcome back, everybody, to Hilchos Shabbos. Very excited now that we've started Bishul to be doing things that I think really on a weekly basis are the kinds of things that actually we encounter on a weekly basis. Bishul in particular. So a lot of really, really good halacha lemaisa to discuss with everybody this evening. As always, please feel free to unmute yourselves, ask questions, chime in with whatever practical issues might be going on in your homes. Be happy to discuss. Make this really as practical as possible, not only conceptual halacha lemaisa, but lemaisa halacha lemaisa. So please feel free to do so throughout the discussion this evening. Let me pull up the screen share here so we can all take a look at Shmir Shabbos Kilchos together inside. And by the way, just under, one other word of housekeeping. I believe that I'm up to date on all of the previous recordings, past recordings being up on yutorah.org. Many thanks to yutorah.org for all of their hosting. So I believe they're all up there. If you need help actually navigating it and getting to the correct area, please let me know. But I believe that they're all up there, whether you want to do a little chazara or catch up on anything that you may have missed. So I think we left off approximately here. I think we had concluded our conversation, at least in this initial section, speaking about a davar lach, speaking about liquids and the realities with which they can be reheated if they have completely cooled off. So even a liquid that was already heated, was already cooked, once it's come back down to, let's say, room temperature, it no longer has any of that warmth that still persists, then it basically reverts back to a status of effectively being raw, at least with respect to Hilchos Shabbos. So let's do a couple of points on a davar yavesh, on something solid, and then we'll dive right into aspects of a kli rishon, how we may or may not go about heating with a kli rishon, and some other assorted halachas that pertain to a kli rishon. So let's take a look. This is Sif Yud. Davar yavesh hamavushal kol tzarcho. Something dry that's been completely cooked, and that's the kicker here. So we're not talking about simply ma'achal ben drusai. Let's say it's cooked a third of the way. That's something that we mentioned last time when we were speaking about defining at what point you've actually achieved an act of bishul. We said you don't even have to cook it completely. You don't have to cook it all the way. It doesn't have to be completely done. It doesn't have to be ready to the degree and the standard that we usually have for what will or won't grace our tables. As long as it's cooked a third of the way, that already violates an act of cooking on Shabbos. Now we're speaking about something that really is truly completely cooked through and through. Afilu hutzonin legamrei, even if that item is completely cooked off, nevertheless, ein bo mishum iser bishul. It can no longer be cooked. No double jeopardy when it comes to a davar yavish. When it comes to something solid, it cannot be cooked again if it's already been cooked once before. Now, let's talk about what this does mean, and let's talk about what this doesn't mean. What this does mean is that there is no way to now violate an act of bishul when it comes to a solid food that's been cooked before. A cooked kugel, a cooked piece of chicken, a cooked piece of meat, cooked vegetables. One cannot violate a prohibition of bishul by re-cooking those things on Shabbos. Indeed, there's really no such notion as re-cooking when it comes to Hilchos Shabbos. Once it's been cooked with respect to solid foods, once it's been cooked once, it is cooked, period, end of story. That's what that does mean. What it does not mean is that one may do with cooked solid foods as they wish. We know that these really are those areas of Hilchos Shabbos where things become most practical in terms of the questions that come up in our kitchens, questions that need to be addressed. In terms of how can I reheat? How can I not reheat? What sort of appliances can I use? What sort of appliances can I not use? There are other considerations, midrabanan, that go into how one may reheat foods on Shabbos. So what this means is that, yes, it's true. This would no longer be considered to be an act of cooking on the one hand. On the other hand, even though it's not an act of cooking, there may still be other prohibitions. If we have time, I'm not sure we're going to quite get there this evening. We'll see. But at least next time, next section, we're going to start to speak about the issues of hachzara, of returning something to the fire on Shabbos. And when we mean returning something, it doesn't only mean something that was already there on Shabbos. It could just be a previously cooked food that now we want to go about replacing and putting on the heat, even maybe for the first time on Shabbos. So it still might be problematic, despite the fact that this is an already cooked food. It wouldn't be an act of bishul, but there may be other rabbinic prohibitions that are associated with such an act. So Dover Yavish Hamavashal Kal Tzarcha Avilu Tonin Lagamre, even if it's completely cooled off, Ain Bo Mishum Iser Bishul. There is no prohibition of Bishul on Shabbos. V'yafal Pichein, even so, Ain Lasito Lakli HaOmid Al Gabei HaEish. Nevertheless, it still may not be put inside of a Kli that's presently on the fire. Afilu Keshahu Adayin Cham, even if it is still hot. So something that was completely cooked but is now off the fire, simply putting that back on the fire, that is a very complex world of halacha that we'll get through, we'll tease out all the different issues at hand and how to exactly go about doing it. But suffice it to say for now, we do not have carte blanche to simply take something that already has been cooked and simply put it back onto whatever source of heat we might be interested in. Yod Aleph, Dover Yavesh, Afilu hu afui otsalui kol tzarcho. So let's say we have something that is dry and it has been specifically, the words and the terminology here is important. Either it's been completely baked or it's been completely roasted. I mentioned this last week, as we were introducing this whole area, this whole malacha of Bishul. We call the malacha Bishul, but the fact is, and the Shmir Shabbos Kilchus pointed this out at the very, very beginning, the term Bishul classically is really used in two contexts. One is that it means you are employing heat to change, let's say, the properties of a food, usually. We spoke about how it's not only specific to food, even melting wax and heating metal, incandescent light bulbs, heating a filament might still well be Bishul, are still certainly Bishul. But generally speaking, when we speak about Bishul in a broad context, so it can mean using heat in any which way to change food. More narrowly, Bishul typically means using heat in order to heat a liquid medium that in turn cooks some other food. It's cooking liquids and it's cooking things inside of a liquid medium. As opposed to either what he's speaking about now is afui otsalui, baked or roasted. That's a reference to using dry heat. And that makes no small difference when it comes to Hilchos Shabbos. Yesh bo, he says, mishum iser bishul. There is still a prohibition of Bishul, despite the fact that this item has been, we might call it cooked, right? In English, we simply have one term to refer to the general umbrella of how to go about taking something raw and processing it through heat so that it's now edible. And if we're talking about a liquid medium, we would say boiling. And if we're talking about a dry heat, we might say roasting, we might say baking. So Bishul is something of a catch-all, but it also refers more narrowly to cooking through a liquid medium. The Isser, the prohibition of cooking with a liquid medium, still applies even though this item is cooked, even though the item has been prepared, even though it's chemically been changed, composition and its makeup is changed, and it's been changed through heat. It's been changed through dry heat, and now it is different. Now you want to use it, or you want to dump it into a pot full of hot water and boil it that way, or into a bowl of soup, let's say, full of hot soup, that potentially is at least problematic. We'll have to speak about the actual pragmatics of all of that in a number of sections from now. Suffice it to say that it is not so simple that simply because challah is obviously baked, that you can necessarily place it inside of any and all kalim that contain hot liquid. So hot soup and challah potentially may be problematic, might be problematic to dunk challah in hot soup, because despite the fact that, yes, it's been baked, but it hasn't been boiled. Putting a piece of roast meat or roast chicken or baked matzah or baked crackers into a bowl of soup potentially could be problematic. So this will all be dependent on what number kli a bowl of soup actually is. Is a bowl of soup a kli sheni? Is a bowl of soup a kli shlishi? We'll get to all of that, as well as some other foods that you might put in that actually have already been boiled and not actually baked. So obviously, if it's already been boiled, then there's no such thing as reboiling again. But if it's already been baked, there may potentially be an isser of reboiling. So we'll get to that all in due time. Let's dive into the area of Kli Rishon. Any questions before we start this segment? Good so far? Okay, feel free to interrupt me at any time. Kli Rishon, so here we go. Asur li'tein kol davar b'chli ha'o milagabe ha'esh. When we speak about a Kli Rishon, we're talking about the pot or the vessel in which the food was originally cooked. And that can come in one of two forms. It can either be that that vessel is presently sitting on the fire, or it could be that it's not al gabe ha'esh, it's not presently on the fire, but it's been removed from the flame. It's been husar me al ha'esh, but nevertheless is still a Kli Rishon. So Kli Rishon could be one of those two forms, and that position on the stove, off the stove, on the fire, off the fire, makes a difference. If we're talking about putting something into a Kli Rishon al gabe ha'esh, then basically we're talking about not putting anything into a Kli Rishon al gabe ha'esh. Can't put anything inside. Bein davar lach, bein davar yavish. Doesn't matter if it's liquid or if it's solid. Bein she'ein mevushal uvein shehu mevushal. Makes no difference if it is not cooked. Certainly if it's not cooked and then putting it inside of a Kli Rishon al gabe ha'esh, that's certainly an act of bishul. Even if it has been cooked, it's still problematic to put it into a Kli Rishon on the fire. Bein shehu kar, bein shehu cham, whether it's cold or it's hot. Vafilu ein bedaito el lahafig tzinaso. Even if the kavana, even if the intent here is not really to cook it, and not even not to cook it, but not even to make it really hot. I don't want to get it really boiling hot. I just want to take the chill out. Coming out of the refrigerator or was left on the counter, I'm only going to put it in for a short while. I'm only going to put it in for 10 minutes and I'll grab it back out before it even comes up to temperature. Ulahaf shiro, just to remove the chill. Ulahaf siro, and then to remove it lefneshias chamim, before it actually heats up to the degree of kadesh ayad toheso ledesbo, before it ever gets to that threshold, whatever it was, 113 degrees, before it ever gets there, I'm going to grab it back out. Nevertheless, all usher cannot put anything into a Kli Rishon she'al gabe ha'esh. If it's still sitting on the fire, can't put anything inside. So practically, what does that then look like? Therefore, you cannot put it into a pot sitting on the fire. Lo melach v'lo kol davar. So melach, that would be a good example. Something that we are likely to want to put into a pot that's sitting on the fire. Why would you ever want to put anything into the pot? Ladle it down to the bowl, and then you could put in whatever you like. I don't want to put my challah directly in the pot. I don't want to put my crackers directly in the pot. I don't even want to put maybe the knedlach or whatever directly into the pot. I don't even want to put the chicken and the vegetables that I've already removed and that I want to serve separately. I don't want to put them back in the pot. I want to put them in the bowl. You may well want to salt the entire pot or any of those other examples if it's something that occurs to you. Cannot put it into the pot if the pot is agave ha'ish, even though those items have already been boiled, have already been cooked, even are still warm, even are still hot. Even just to say, let me just throw it in, and then I'll grab it back out. I just want to take the chill out. I don't actually want to bring it up to temperature. Still usser. Can't put it into the pot agave ha'ish. So lo melech v'lo kol davar, not salt, not anything else. Re'el halon sif tes zayin. Also, you can't put into an urn, a warmer, that's on the fire. Let's say an urn that's sitting. It's fixed. It's fixed upon that heating element, the heating coil in the base, in the bottom of it. Can't put anything inside. Which is a brilliant suggestion. What do you do when the plata doesn't turn unless you have it on a timer? Timers will be a whole other conversation, a whole other discussion. Let's assume you're using a timer. Let's assume you have your plata on a timer. It didn't go off. It didn't go off. It didn't turn back on. Oh, no, I have no way to. Ingenious idea. Dump it into a Ziploc bag. Zip the top. Open up the urn. Have hot water in the urn. And just leave it inside. Placing anything inside of a Kli Rishon al gabe ha'esh, which is what an urn is. Kli Rishon, water is cooked right inside of it. It's al gabe ha'esh. It's presently sitting on the fire on the heating element. Cannot put anything inside. So even if these are items that have already been cooked, even if they're completely cooked, even if it's wrapped up in another kli, even if the kavana is to snatch it back out at some point, nevertheless, in any and all circumstances, nothing can be put into the Kli Rishon if it's presently sitting on the fire. That's all on the one hand. On the other hand, what do I do? What do I do if I want to heat something up and I can't put it into the Kli Rishon al gabe ha'esh? So what do I do? So here's the best, next best suggestion. And again, we'll talk about things that we use to actually warm up other appliances and sort of like newfangled appliances, plata and warming drawers. And we'll speak about all those things all in due time. But meanwhile, here's a suggestion of the Shmir Shabbos Kilchas, and here's what would be mutter. Me'idach, on the other hand, he says, Yud Gimel, mutter l'aniach samach la'ish ma'achal kar. What you could do is take cold food and put it samach la'ish, put it next to the fire. So I can't put it directly onto the blech. I can't put it into the pot that's on the blech and that's sitting on the fire, but I can put it next to the stove. If I'm just trying to take the chill out, put it in a place where it won't actually heat up, where it won't, see what we're talking about, depending on what kind of food we're dealing with, but where no possible violation of Bishul could ever even take place. So leave it there, and you'll at least get the chill out. It'll at least warm up a little bit. It won't be piping hot, but it also won't be freezing cold. Afilu eino mevushal kol tzarcho, he says, even if it's not completely cooked, even if it's not completely cooked, it can still be left there, kedei lahafig tzinaso, kedei lahashira, in order to remove the chill, in order to just make it tepid, to make it lukewarm, b'tnai, as long as on condition, shelo yuchal lehischamem sham, kedei shahayad tehesel edisbo, as long as it's not being left in an area where it could be brought up to yad soledis. Why is that a problem? Well, if we're dealing with something that's never actually been cooked before, bringing it up to Yad Soledis is problematic. Interesting, he points out in the footnotes that Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach felt that actually, if you're dealing with a solid food that's just not completely cooked, if it's not completely cooked, why would you want to eat it? It's partially cooked. It's not completely cooked. It's good enough. You like your meat very, very, very rare or whatever. Not completely cooked, but still edible. Shlomo Zalman actually seems to hold that it would be mutter to put it in an area, even if it could come up to Yad Soledes, as long as it couldn't actually really keep on cooking, as long as it's not an area where it could be brought to a state of complete cooking. I don't know exactly how you end up judging that sort of thing. Leave it in a place where you don't believe that any violation of Bishul could actually take place. Certainly that's going to be the case when it comes to liquids. To leave liquid in an area where it could potentially be brought up to Yad Soledis Bo, that becomes problematic, of course, in of itself, because that's the threshold. That is the threshold or the benchmark of cooked liquids when it comes to liquids. If you've heated it to Yad Soledis, then of course, that is considered to be an act of cooking. Re'e lahalon sif lamed zayin. Aval hanicho samuch la'esh b'mokom sheyuchal l'ischamin k'dei sheyad soledis bo aser. But to leave it in a place where it could be heated up to the degree that Yad Soledis, that it's hot to the touch, your hand draws back 113 degrees Fahrenheit, that would be usur. Gam im klal ein b'kavana. So here, go back to kavana. Even if that wasn't my intention, I don't mean to leave it there. I'm not going to leave it there. Yes, in 15 minutes from now, it's going to be Yad Soledis. In a half hour from now, if I leave it here, it's going to turn Yad Soledis. But that's not my intention. I want it in 10 minutes from now. I just don't want it freezing cold. I want it lukewarm. I want it tepid. I want warm. I want warm orange juice. It's too cold. Or it got really, really frigid in the back of the fridge. So leave it next to the fire, leave it next to the blech. And if I leave it there for a half hour, maybe it'll even come up to Yad Soledis, but I'm not going to. I don't want it that way. I'll only leave it there for the next 5 minutes. Nevertheless, even if the intention is only to leave it there for a brief moment, nevertheless, usur. Still is usur to do so. You cannot leave anything in a location in which ultimately cooking will take place, even if my intention is to snatch it away before the act of Bishul ever actually is violated. Now, welcome to Tzorech Gadol. But let's say I really need to warm something up. Kegon, Litzorech Cholek Tzas Otinok. Somebody who is sick and not even terribly sick. Cholek Tzas. So I need to get some liquids into this person. They refuse to have anything other than orange juice. The orange juice is too cold. I got to find a way to warm it up. They won't have anything that's really, really chilly. So I need a way to warm it up. Then in those circumstances, it would be mutter to warm it in a place where, granted, if you left it there, it would reach Yad Soledes, but you just make sure that you catch it before. Probably a more likely scenario, if that sounds a little contrived, it is. And probably more likely scenario is baby bottle. I really need to warm up this bottle. I have no means of warming up this bottle. How should I go about warming up the bottle? It would be mutter in those kinds of extenuating circumstances. You need to have a way to warm it. You need to warm it quickly. Leave it next to the blech. Leave it next to the fire. Leave it next to the burner. It's true. If you leave it there for 20 minutes, it'll come up to 113 degrees. It'll come up to Yad Soledes, but I'm only going to leave it there for 5 minutes. After all, I have a crying, screaming baby. That would be permissible. And if you have food that's completely cooked, by the way, this is what we're talking about specifically, these kinds of beverages. So even if it's liquid, even, and it's cooled down, so that ordinarily, if it's a liquid that's now cooled down, what would we say about bishul? We would say, yesh bishul achar bishul balach. So really, this should completely reset things. We should view this as something that's completely raw. Nevertheless, in this circumstance, you need to heat it up for a child. Kumo chalav omarak kar. Let's say milk. Let's say cold soup. Something that's been cooked before, but it's now cooled off. It was in the fridge. So it was cooked before. It's in the fridge. Shouldn't that just reset it to zero? And if it's reset to zero, why should it be mutter for me to even place it in a location where potentially could be brought back up to a temperature of Yad Soledes? That should be completely yasser. In this case, extenuating circumstances, need it for a chola, need it for a child, for a baby. Mutter l'hanicha samach la'esh, it's mutter to leave it there. Leave it next to the fire. Afilu b'makom shebo yuchal l'hischamim k'desh ayat teit soledes bo. Even if you're leaving it in a location where, yes, if you leave it there, it could become Yad Soledes. Since that's not my kavana. My kavana is not to recook it. I don't plan on recooking it. I don't want milk that's 113 degrees. I want milk that's, you know, that's 80 degrees. I want milk that's just had the chill taken out of it. And I need to do it quickly. Baby's crying. Since it is, it's already been... This is an important point. Since it's already been cooked before, therefore, it would be mutter. So what we're talking about then is cow's milk. Cow's milk, I don't know how formula is made. I believe already cooked. I assume so. I think it has to be if it's soluble the way that it is. So in those instances, you have, let's say, pre-mixed formula, or you have cow's milk already been heated, has come back down to temperature, we can sort of reach for something that we don't usually rely upon, but we can reach for kind of a whole tziruf. It's a whole coalescence of different potential kulas. So first of all, the fact that, yes, ordinarily we say, yesh bishul achar bishul balach. Ordinarily we say that if something was cooked liquid, but now it's come back down to a cool temperature, reheating it is actually an act of cooking. So that's true. Ordinarily, we are machmir. In this instance, you have that maybe it's not real cooking because it's already been cooked once before. Number two, I'm not actually planning on cooking it. That's not my intention. My intention is only to bring it up to room temperature or a little past room temperature and then take it right back. I'm not intending to bring it up to Yad Soledes. And number three, that I'm doing it for a pressing need, a fairly pressing need, a baby, a chola. It's really those three issues that coalesce to create this heter. But you have to be very careful, though, to really grab it away, to bring it back before it actually comes up to Yad Soledes. If you have all three of those that would apply, then it would be mutter to leave it in a place where it could become Yad Soledes, but doesn't actually become Yad Soledes because you're going to snatch it away more quickly. None of that is to say that you could actually put it on the fire. None of that is to say, well, extenuating circumstances, then I know that this wasn't on the fire, but let me put it on the fire. I'll put it right on the blech. That's not what this is saying. This is saying putting it next to the fire, but in a place where it could potentially reach a temperature of Yad Soledes. There's a lot in that. There are three different heterim that all, again, coalesce there. Good with that? Questions thus far? Good to proceed. Okay, let's go. Great. Yadalit. Davarlach she'inu mubashal kol tzarcha. Davarlach that's never really been cooked before, and therefore bishul would still apply. Oh, afilu hu mubashal kol tzarcha, or even if it has already been cooked. Again, this is what we usually assume, that even if something's been cooked, but now it has cooled off, generally speaking, we say that it is subject to bishul all over again. Mubashal kol tzarcha, then it's tanlein lagamri mibishulo, and now it's completely cooled down. Milk, wine. Wine is mavushal wine. Mavushal wine is cooked. It's brought up to, I forget what it is, like 180 degrees or something like that. And then it's cooled back down. Milk is also brought up to like 160 degrees, I think, somewhere around there when it's pasteurized. And then it is brought back down. So both are still subject to bishul, at least on some level or another. So with respect to a kli rishon, v'chein davar yavesh, she'eino mavushal kol tzarcho, or even if you're dealing with a solid food, but you're talking about a solid food that's not completely cooked, aser litein oso b'chli rishon. You're not allowed to put that into a kli rishon. Gam im eino omed al gabe ha'ish, even if that kli rishon is not al gabe ha'ish, even if it's the pot of soup that's been removed from the fire, even if it's the chalet that's been taken out of the crock pot heating element, thing, whatever that, I don't know, the crock out of the pot out of the crock, whatever it is, the lining thing, the platform and the heating element. But there was a asa gam im kol kavanoso eno el hafigas tzinasa ol hashira v'shuv lo tzio mikli ze. Again, don't tell me about your kavana. Don't tell me that this was my intention. The intention doesn't really matter. If it's left in a place where it could cook, then that becomes an act that is asa in of itself. Even if the intention is to remove it before it actually cooks or before the liquid heats up to Yad Soledes, nevertheless, that already is an act that is also that's prohibited to put it in a place where potentially it could cook.
Yeah. Now, question. Yeah. So if, let's say you're taking water out of an urn, right, into a clean shani, and you're right away putting it into, let's say, a crock pot, right?
Right.
Are we assuming that small degree of like cooling that's taking place and that's considered cooking once it's put into?
Not necessarily. So we'll deal with that question exactly. We touched on it last time. We'll deal with that question exactly at the end of this section. So hold on to that. If for some reason I don't get to it, just remind me. But Mirtz Hashem, we're going to deal with that exact section. Something, by the way, and just even the way you're formulating the question, I just want to move everyone to a slightly different space. Yes, there is something to say for the fact that as you move from Kli Rishon to Kli Sheni to Kli Shlishi, that there is something of a drop-off in heat. It's not only about a drop-off in heat when you're moving from Kli Rishon to Kli Sheni to Kli Shlishi. Example, you could have a Kli Rishon that is at 200 degrees. You could have a Kli Rishon that's at 180 degrees. If you pour water out of a Kli Rishon that's 200 degrees into a Kli Sheni, that water has the status, and that kli has the status of a kli sheni. That kli sheni may well be 195 degrees, 190 degrees. Who knows how much it cools off when you make that transfer from point A to point B. That kli sheni is actually hotter than another kli rishon, al gabe ha'esh, that you have sitting someplace else in your kitchen. Nevertheless, halachically speaking, they're worlds apart. One is a kli rishon, one is a kli sheni. Even though the kli sheni is actually hotter than the kli rishon. So I just want to pick up on that expression and your framing of it. You're correct that does play a role. Part of the sense is that the reason for kli rishon, kli sheni, kli shlishi is that there is something of a drop-off in heat, but it's not exclusively a function of drop-off in heat. It's more of a status. If you're now in a kli sheni as opposed to a kli rishon, if you're in a kli shlishi as opposed to a kli sheni, think of it more along the lines as this becomes less and less similar to a typical act of cooking. So irrespective of how hot the water actually is, it becomes less and less similar to the way that you and I would ordinarily cook. If I'm trying to cook something, if I'm going to cook a pot of pasta, I would put it into a kli rishon, shel gabe ha'esh. To put pasta into a kli rishon that's husar me al gabe ha'esh, that's no longer, it's been removed from the fire, that doesn't quite as closely resemble a typical act of cooking. If it's now poured into a second pot, even though it's still piping hot, again, it might be hotter than the contents of a pot that I have sitting on the stove someplace in that very same kitchen. Nevertheless, it becomes even less similar to a kli, to an act of cooking, because it's in a kli sheni. If you then pour the contents into a kli shlishi, some would argue, Rav Moshe's famous psak, that in no way resembles an act of cooking anymore. Cooking in a kli shlishi, according to Rav Moshe, is not cooking, despite the fact that that kli shlishi, who knows, depending on what you started off with, that kli shlishi might be hotter than a kli rishon that you have sitting in that very same kitchen. So it's just an important mental pivot. We should be conscious of the fact there is a drop off in temperature from 1 to 2, from 2 to 3, but it's not exclusive to the drop off in temperature. And it's not the drop off in temperature or any particular grades of temperature that really carry the day. Just want to make sure that's a thought process. And those are the mechanics that we're all aware of. As far as that actual question, we'll get there. We'll get there, Mir Tzashem. We'll talk about transferring from one pot, let's say from the urn to the crock pot. We'll deal with that in greater detail. Okay. So again, something that's not really cooked, not completely cooked, can't put in a kli rishon, even if that kli rishon is not on the fire. And when we speak about something that's not completely cooked, we are also speaking about something that was cooked, liquid that was cooked, milk, wine, mavushal wine, orange juice. It was cooked during pasteurization or during its mavushal bishul process, but now it's cooled down. That's considered no longer cooked and therefore cannot be placed into a kli rishon. Tes vav. Davar lach shehu mavushal kol tzarcho. If you have something that is completely cooked, liquids that are completely cooked, v'lo nitzkanen legamrei mibishulo. Even if it's cooled off somewhat, but it hasn't completely cooled down from its being cooked. So it's a kli rishon, it's a kettle of tea that has cooled down somewhat because you brought it to the table, but it's still warm-ish. Oh, davar yavesh, or it's something dry, hamavushal kol tzarcho v'afilu hutzonein, or a completely cold potato kugel, a completely cold piece of chicken, but it's cooked. It's yavesh, it's dry, and it's completely cooked. Mutter litein oso besoch kli rishon. Let me backtrack for 1 second. Let's not talk about the potato kugel, because the potato kugel is really not mavushal. It's actually afui or tsalui, right? Dry heat as opposed to liquid heat. So let's talk about pot roast or chicken from the soup or vegetables from the soup. Things that are completely cooked, things that are completely boiled through and through. It would then be mutter to place it into a kli rishon as long as that kli rishon is not al ha'esh. Mutter liteno so besoch kli rishon she'eno omed agabe ha'esh. If it's no longer sitting on the fire, mutter to put those things into a kli rishon. So when might that happen? It might happen if, let's say, a small pot of soup that you want to bring directly to the table and you want to reincorporate. I know some people do this, right? Taking out all the solids from the soup and then, let's say, like picking through it. This is like a childhood memory that I have. This is how you knew that it was either Pesach or Rosh Hashanah in my house. It would be my grandmother, Allah Shalom, sitting at the kitchen table, going through all of the first, having taken all the solids out of the chicken soup, and then like lining it up meticulously inside of a 9x13 aluminum pan, all like completely pulled and deboned. Bones went in one pile. All the chicken went into this pan, and like there was like the onion and there were the carrots, all very neatly like lined up, and all the chicken pulled and dark meat on one side and white meat on the other side. So let's say you go that route, you want to debone everything and then you want to reincorporate. Then you want to fold it back into the soup. Let's say, again, big tureen of soup or a big pot of soup. Let's talk about a kli rishon, so in which the soup is actually cooked. You boiled lakshin separately in a separate pot. You don't want to leave it in the soup because then it gets, it gets too soggy or mushy, you know, like what happens, it all disintegrates just throughout the soup. You want to fold it back in shortly before serving and then bring an entire pot of soup to the table. So that would be a scenario of placing items that have been completely cooked into a kli rishon, totally mutter, once the kli rishon is removed from the fire. The chicken, the vegetables were cooked inside of that same pot, removed, you can put them back in. Even if it was done days before, days in advance. Lakshin that was cooked in a different pot was cooked in a kli rishon. It's mavushal kol tzarcho, completely cooked through and through. It's a davar yavesh. It's dry, it's solid. Putting those things into a kli rishon. or even, I don't know, you know, you have a little bit of, this is like a thing, a little bit of schug, let's say, that's like also warmed up on the fire, on the blech, on the burner. And then you want to put it into like a whole pot of soup. Afterwards, liquid that is mevushel kol tzarcho, because it's been brought up to yatza lettuce, is considered completely cooked. It would be mutter to put that into a kli rishon, as long as that's not a kli rishon al gabe hayesh, as long as it's been removed from the fire.
So Rabbi?
Now, yeah.
Rabbi, I was just wondering, when you take the kli rishon off of the fire, and then now it's starting to cool down, does at some point, is it no longer a kli rishon when it gets cool enough? Is there a certain point when then it doesn't matter what you put into it because it's cool enough?
So, oh, that's what you're saying. You're saying in that direction. Yeah. If it can no longer yatza lettuce. As far as putting things into it, as long as it's no longer yatza lettuce, with respect to liquid that you might have an interest in putting back into a kli rishon, even if it's not yatza lettuce, but it hasn't cooled completely down, we'll still afford it the stat or accord it the status of a kli rishon lahakel, to be able to then put it back into a piping hot kli rishon. So if let's say I have a quarter cup of tea left from the kettle, and it's kind of cooled down, and I want to just throw it back in the teapot and then re-pour a whole new cup, I can still do that despite the fact that it's no longer yatza lettuce, but it hasn't cooled down completely. But if it has cooled down past yatza lettuce, as far as putting anything else inside of that, it's no longer considered a kli rishon with respect to them being able, having the capacity to cook other foods. In this case, only lakula, but not lachumra. So now here's where this is. Now really comes the question of, what about transferring? What about transferring from one pot to another pot? And this really deals, Natalie, with your question about what happens if we're not just transferring, let's say, from one pot to another pot. What if it makes it stop over in another kli along the way? What if you pour from, let's say, a kli rishon into a kli sheni, then pour from the kli sheni either back into the same kli rishon or into a different kli rishon, trying to pour hot water into a chalent on Friday night, reading on Shabbos morning, saving it from drying out completely. So that's what we're going to talk about here. Very important si'if, and we'll see both what the Shmir Shabbos Gilchasa says actually in the upstairs, in the Sefer itself, and then also a really, really important footnote as well. Shtei kederos ha'omdos al gabei ha'esh, two pots that are on the fire. So we could think of this in terms of two different pots of food that are on a blech, two different pots of food that are on the stove, one pot of food that's on the stove or that's on the blech, and another one that's on a completely separate unit, let's say like a crock pot, or let's say like an urn, crock pot and an urn, pot of chicken soup and the urn, pot of chicken soup and a crock pot, if you want to go in that direction. Shteka there, some of those al gabe ha'esh, doesn't have to be the exact same fire, but they're both omed al gabe ha'esh, they're both on top of a fire. Shebahen, and the food that's inside of them, hey, mevushalim kol tzarchem, completely cooked through and through, completely cooked soup, completely cooked chalent, completely cooked water. Mutter laha avir ma shebahen me'achas lechaverta. You can transfer from one to the next. I can transfer from somehow or another, from let's say the urn to the chalent, from the urn to the soup, from the urn to the brisket or whatever it is that's cooking, let's say, overnight or even not overnight, even if it's just for an hour from now. But I want to be able to ensure that it doesn't completely dry out. So that's all mutter. Please note, we're talking about two items that are completely cooked. If you're dealing with something that's not completely cooked through and through, taking off the lid and then even putting it back on, that's going to be problematic in of itself. You're basically facilitating a real cooking process of something that's not yet cooked, and you're allowing it to cook more quickly. Or by pouring in more hot water, you're going to have it cook more quickly. So we're talking about a chalent that's really cooked through and through already. You might like it if it gets a little more done. You might like it a little more charred or a little more burnt. But at the very least, it's cooked through and through. That's the state that we're dealing with when we're talking about, let's say, transferring hot water, pouring hot water into it.
Yeah, but Rabbi, sorry. If you're taking the pot, if you're taking the chalent out of the pot, let's say, out of like the element, isn't it no longer on al gabei ha'ish?
That case, yes, correct. Right. So right now we're saying that even if al gabe ha'esh, even if it's still on that element, mutter to pour from one directly into the other. If they're both presently on the fire, that would still be mutter. If it's not on the fire, you actually have greater, you have greater latitude, right? So we'll get to that in a second. Meanwhile, this case, what he's describing is, let's say, two pots that are presently al gabe ha'esh, and I pour directly from one into the other, that's mutter. Lefikach, if I see that one of the pots that's on top of a fire, a concealed fire, covered fire, not an open fire, covered fire, it's becoming more and more dried out, and I see where this is going, I'm going to go to sleep, and I peer inside of the chalent pot, and it's just not enough liquid to make it through the night. Mutter litzok bo benachas. It's mutter to pour gently, gingerly. What's the concern? Why so gentle and why so delicate? Because if you pour with great force and you pour a big splash of water into the chalent pot, that effectively becomes an act of hagasa, which is a problem in of itself, and we'll speak about that later. Stirring, even stirring a pot that's on the fire is a problem. That's a no-no. Because just in case there are any bits, particles that haven't been completely cooked, now you're stirring it around, now it's going to have better access, better coverage, more surface area. The fire will be able to get into all the different nooks and crannies of the pot. That's a problem. So therefore, pouring a great amount of water very, very quickly so that it all overturns and it all gets mixed up, it's almost like an act of stirring with the liquid that you're pouring in. But if you're doing it gently, then it would be mutter to pour min hamayim haroschim shebedud hashabbos, from, let's say, the boiling water in the Shabbos urn, ha'omen agabe ha'esh afhu, that's also agabe ha'esh. So if both are agabe ha'esh, it's mutter to pour from one to the other, if they're both on the fire. V'chein mutter, lahotzi mayim, it's also mutter to take water out, mitoch dud ha'Shabbos, from inside of the Shabbos urn, be'ezras kaf o matzekes, either by dunking in a ladle or some other, like a baster or something like that, using something to draw the water out, and then using that to transfer into the next pot. So let's say I have an urn, so I might just take the, so again, yes, he's talking about where it's on the fire. If it's off the fire, then you have even greater license. Remember, we never put anything, so that was his opening statement, never put anything into a Kli Rishon al gabe ha'esh. So he's saying here, you could even do so al gabe ha'esh. If it's off the fire, then even greater latitude, even greater leniency to pour from one to the next. So I could do this again in one of two ways thus far. Take the crock pot, hold it under the urn, and then turn the urn on so that the water goes right inside. Well, let's say I don't have an urn. Let's say it's just, it's a pot of hot water that's on the stove. Or I have a pot of chicken soup. I don't have the urn. Or I have a pot of chicken soup. Good, like a little chicken stock in the chalent will be great. Stick the ladle inside of the chicken soup and pour that, transfer that, a couple of ladles full, into the chalent. That's all okay. Litano some lasocha tavshil, to then place it into the tavshil, let's say, to put it into the chalent. But odo al ha'isha mechusa, as long as that fire is still covered over, bitnai, as long as, on condition, shakaf o amatzekes tiyenikia viyavesha, as long as the actual ladle is completely dry and completely clean. If it's not completely dry, not completely clean. If it's not completely dry, if I have droplets of soup on the ladle, then I can't really put that back inside of the ladle. If those droplets of soup have cooled, that really shouldn't be going back into a kli rishon shel gabe ha'esh, because that liquid is now going to be recooked. So that's something that you have to just be mindful of. Generally, if you have cold soup on a ladle, want to dry that off, want to clean that off before putting it back into a pot of hot soup, because otherwise you're recooking. Assuming that's the case, assuming you have a ladle that's clean, that's dry, putting it into one pot and then transferring it into another pot, so far so good. That doesn't really, yet anyway, speak to the question of what about pouring? What about pouring from one kli rishon into a kli sheni, from an urn into, let's say, a mug, and then going from that mug into the chalent, back into another kli rishon? a ladle may well be different. A ladle may actually take on the status of the Kli Rishon into which it's actually dunked, into which it's actually submerged. So that's not yet so clear that pouring, let's say, into a second cup, into a mug from the urn, and then from the mug into the chalet, it's not clear yet that that's mutter. That still needs a little bit of discussion. Okay, so far so good, though, conceptually. Taking from one Kli Rishon, putting into another Kli Rishon is mutter. Even if you're not pouring directly, but you're making use of a ladle that gets submerged into the actual liquid of one Kli Rishon and then going into the next Kli Rishon, that's also mutter. If you've cooked something in a very, very large pot and you're eating from that on Friday night, it would also be mutter to then take the leftovers. I want to have the chicken soup, let's say even tomorrow for lunch, but I don't want it in this massive pot still sitting on the blech all night. I'll pour it into a smaller pot. To pour it into a smaller pot, to be able to eat it for the second su'udah the next day. Again, you have to make sure that the pot is clean. There's nothing in the pot, no little droplets of water that are going to be cooked when you pour from this big Kli Rishon into this small new pot. Got to be sure that it's all cleaned out properly. And you also have to be careful with hachzara, taking how it is that you go about putting like a brand new pot onto the stove. Okay, so that also would be mutter. You got to be careful. Hachzara is the act of taking any new pot, any dish that hasn't yet been there or hasn't been there previously, and now putting it onto the stove. Let's dive into Ha'ara here, Mem Dalet. And we'll end with this, but this is going to loop back to the specific question of what about a measuring cup? What about a mug that is being used as the mode of conveyance from Kli Rishon A to Kli Rishon B? I don't want to hold the chalent pot underneath the urn. I want to go from the urn into a mug, much more convenient, pour from the mug into the next Kli Rishon, into the crock pot. Is that mutter? So take a look here. What about that? That he hasn't addressed in the pnim upstairs. He has spoken about using a ladle, submerging a ladle. He hasn't spoken about going from urn to mug, urn to cup. What about that? And then to pour from there, let's say directly into the chalen pot. Shemati me'agon Rav Shlomo Zalman Arbach Shlita, Zatzal, we would say, or Zatzukal, we would say. So he heard from Rav Shlomo Zalman Arbach. The Esher Shero'i Lahachmir, really? It's probably best to be Machmir. Wah, wah. It's best to be machmir. Best to be careful. Best not to go from the urn to the cup. Why? This gets a little technical. This is based on a Gemara in Shabbos, a sugya in Shabbos, of what the Gemara asks is being mefana mimecham lamecham, going from one pot on the fire to another pot on the fire. Is it mutter? Is it usser? The Gemara doesn't come out with any clear psak. It's an ibaya delo ifshita. It is a question that the Gemara itself never resolves. Poskim hold differently as to whether it's mutter or usser. Hamagen Avram, Simon, Reishin, Gimel, Sifkatam, Chaf, Le'isser. The Magen Avram holds that it's usser. So that's the Magen Avram. V'racha Mishnah Brura, B'shar HaTzion, Sifkatan, Memzayin, Machriya, Leheter. The Mishnah Brura holds that it's mutter. Machlokas between the Mishnah Brura and the Magen Avram. Magen Avram says that it's usser to pour from one pot to the next. Mishnah Brura says it's mutter. We act like the Mishnah Brura. We're noeg like the Mishnah Brura. However, says Rav Shlomo Zalman, since this is a machlokas achronim, and since yes, the Magen Avram says it's usser, but we pass them like the Mishnah Brura to be mekil, to pour from one pot to another pot, Kli Rishon to another Kli Rishon, seems best to not go beyond the parameters of exclusively what the Mishnah Brura actually spoke about. Meaning, we shouldn't add to the words of the Mishnah Brura. Whatever the Mishnah Brura says is mutter, anything beyond the strict parameters of what the Mishnah Brura is actually speaking about, we shouldn't allow ourselves, we shouldn't take license to be mutter, to be mekil there. V'loshari, it shouldn't be permitted, to go specifically from one pot on the fire to the next pot on the fire. But if you pour by means of some additional kli from urn to mug to crock pot, that he's not comfortable with. Efsher could be the chashav kaniach al gabe kaka va'aser. It could be that the fact that the water is going into a mug in between, it's as though the water comes to rest, or it's as though the mug comes to rest on the counter or on the ground, which this we're kind of getting ahead of ourselves with this, but in terms of dine hachzara, returning something to the fire, if you've put it down, you're not really supposed to put it back on the fire afterwards. So Shlomo Zalman says, I'm not sure. It could be that that's actually usher. However, achshov amar li hagomer Shlomo Zalman arba achshlita. Afterwards, subsequently, he said to me, even so, nira, it seems as follows. To me, kevin shemutr lahamid al ha'esh es hakos im hamayim sheba. Hold on a second. If you're permitted to go from one kli on the fire to another kli on the fire, what that really means is that I can pour from the urn to a mug, and that mug can go on the blech. And that's mutter, according to the Mishnah Berurah. If that's mutter, what difference does it make if it's still contained within this mug? What difference does it make if the contents of this mug are instead poured into a different vessel that's likewise sitting on the fire, namely onto the crock pot, into the crock pot? It would seem that that should be mutter as well. If I can pour from the urn to a mug, that mug can go on the fire, can go on the blech. It doesn't make any sense. Doesn't make any sense to say that therefore you couldn't also pour the contents of the mug into the crock pot. Ultimately, he says, it's mutter. So Archa Shabbos says similarly based on a slightly different svara, but also seems to believe that this should be mutter. So as long as this cup isn't actually put down, as long as the intent, Archa Shabbos says, I think quoting Rishmol Arbach, that it should be mutter, there should be another reason also. You shouldn't really view this kli as being substantial. If the only reason why I filled this kli is in order to transfer from urn to crockpot, this isn't really a kli sheni. What's a kli sheni? A kli sheni is a second kli that you intend to pour the contents into and leave there. Either leave there indefinitely, or to leave there long enough to then be able to pour into yet another kli, but certainly not to just transfer back into a kli rishon. That's just an extension of the kli rishon. That's not really usher. That's not even what the Gemara was telling. When the Gemara had this question of pino mimecham lamecham, is that mutter? It wasn't even talking about that. That's Rav Shmuel Arbach, and that's Archa Shabbos quoting it. So much to be somechan, much to rely upon if you want to go that route. So halach lamaisa, if you want to go from the urn to a mug, from the mug to the crackpot, be very careful. Make sure you don't put the mug down. Make sure it doesn't get put down in between, but directly from the urn to the crock pot by means of that mug, that's mutter. Only thing to be, again, very, very cautious of, chalon's got to be cooked through and through. Because if the chalon's not cooked through and through, and now you're pouring hot water over the top of it, and you are allowing it to cook even more rapidly, more quickly, or things that otherwise wouldn't have been cooked, that's very problematic. You want to make sure that everything is really completely cooked by the time you actually perform this process. But if you do so, then yes, it would be mutter to pour from one to the other. Any questions on that or anything else that we've addressed this evening?
And so can you pick up the lid completely of the crock pot? Or are you supposed to like only lift up like one?
Sure. Side? No, you could take the lid off. Taking the lid off isn't problematic. Even if you take the lid off and then you put it down, problem is the actual kli itself. Taking the kli out and putting the kli down, taking the crock pot itself out, putting that down and then putting it back onto a fire, that becomes much more problematic. The actual lid, you can take completely off and then pour the hot water in, as long as the contents of the crock pot are already completely cooked. And you just have a concern about, you know, dehydration or burning.
And if let's say you had two pots on the fire, there's not an issue of removing the lid off of one of the pots in order to like put from one kli to the other?
Taking the lid off in order to transfer?
Yeah.
That's fine.
So I'm saying like, and even though you're removing liquid, you're not speeding up like the process of heating?
You're not speeding up the process because in both instances, well, a few things. First of all, bear in mind, they both have to be cooked. They both have to be completely cooked. The concern about speeding up a cooking process is a problem if you're speeding up a cooking process, meaning if something's not yet completely cooked and you're helping to facilitate and to expedite the cooking, that's problematic. But we're dealing with things that are already completely cooked. We have to be dealing with things that are already completely cooked. Otherwise, it would be a problem for a whole host of everything that you're doing along the way would be problematic. But otherwise, just pouring from one to the other would be completely mutter. And you have to remove the lids. I would never recommend transferring from one pot to another without taking off the lids first.
Right. And then so like one last question. Let's say when you're on Friday night, you're serving soup, you're supposed to remove the pot off of the off the flame before you're putting it into bowls, correct?
Right, because even sticking the ladle in and dishing out of a kli rishon shouldn't be done if it's still on the fire.
But if you're transferring from one pot to the other, isn't that what you're doing?
Taking it off the fire. Is that what you're saying?
No, like if there are two pots on the fire and you're transferring from one pot to the other.
Well, that's what I mean. When we speak about even transferring from one pot agave ha'ish to another, by definition, you're picking what he's talking about classically, like what Mar's talking about. Picking it up and pouring.
Ah, okay.
Which means that it's never really the first one is never really algabe ha'esh, and you're correct that ladling anything out of the kli rishon mamish algabe ha'esh, that's always problematic. That's not something that we do.
Okay.
We never dish or ladle directly out of a kli rishon.
Okay, fine. Thank you.
Alrighty, excellent.
Wait, I have a question, Minerva Schwartz.
Yeah, please.
So if you want to transfer water from the urn to the cholent pot, first you would have to put the water from the urn into your coffee mug. Then holding the mug, you'd have to take the cholent pot out and put it down, holding onto it. And then somehow with the third hand,
let me stop you there. Not necessary. I have my hot water from the urn. I'm sorry. I remove the lid off the pot of the cholent pot, and I pour it in very, very delicately. I
don't while pour it on in, the fire
on the
while
pot,
it's in the pot. Base
while thing. It's in the base while it's in the base. Yeah.
Wow.
Correct. Just do it very, very gently because you don't want to pour in. This is what he was talking about. Don't pour it in with such moxie that you're effectively stirring up the contents of the pot while you're pouring it in. No major splashes, right? So you want to be careful about that. But otherwise, yeah, delicately pouring it in, that's fine. If you stirring it is really a problem. Really stirring a pot of food, even if it's off the fire, is problematic. We don't do that either. We ladle out of a pot that's not on the fire, but we really don't stir in any kind of rishon. So you want to pour it in and just let gravity run its course and no more than that. The other thing that I think I know what you meant, but if your coffee cups or coffee mugs or anything like mine, they're all milchig. So be careful.
Oh, no, mine aren't. I have some.
Okay, good.
But and how like widely reliable is that opinion that you could do that with them?
Widely reliable.
Or how strongly, I don't know how to ask, how strongly reliable is that?
About putting it into a mug in between?
Yeah, and then pouring it directly into the cholent pot.
If you have any concern about what might happen in the world to come, I would feel very, very confident that Rav Shlomo Zalman going to bat for you is a good thing.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I'll do it. So if you're hesitant, you can call me. I'll come over. It's very, very reliable. And again, Orchel Shabbos also says the same thing. So it's interesting. Like the Shmir Shabbos Kilchus himself doesn't put it, you know, in the interior of the Sefer, but he says that this was what Rav Shlomo Zalman said. And again, the reason to be machmir, the reason why Rav Shlomo Zalman was concerned is basically, we only are makil in the first place because we passed like the Mishnah Berurah, but the Magen Avraham says otherwise. So again, so the Mishnah Berurah does say that it's mutter, seemingly it's a little more complex than that. Again, what Orchel Shabbos quotes is it actually avoids the whole issue, gets around the whole issue and says, this isn't even what that Gemara is talking about to begin with. This is very, very reliable.
So a quick question. Did we say challah in a soup? Is that problematic?
Challah in a soup is potentially problematic. Here's like the quick version, because we'll see all this inside. As long as for that purpose, we assume that the ladle itself actually constitutes a kli sheni, which means that your bowl of soup is actually a kli shlishi. We're not machmir on bishul acharafia in a kli shlishi. So something that's already been baked, we don't presume that it can still be cooked even in a kli shlishi. And that's certainly the case according to Rav Moshe, who holds that nothing dramatic, nothing of any significance with respect to bishul is taking place in a kli shlishi. There are some parameters to follow. That's not the case if the ladle has been left sitting in the kli rishon in the pot, then it's considered a kli rishon. It's not really considered a kli sheni. But as long as you're basically going in and out and in and out, and then it's left out, if it's left out, it's not left sitting in the pot, you can assume that the ladle itself is a kli sheni. Only thing to be careful of with respect to that scenario is that if you've left the ladle out of the pot and then you go back in for seconds, that really needs to be cleaned, because otherwise you have chicken soup that's become cold that you're then putting back into a hot pot of soup. Yesh bishul achar bishul for liquids. You're now reheating all of that cold chicken soup that's inside and on top of the ladle. So you want to make sure that it's clean if, let's say, you're going in for a second round. But otherwise, if you're going in and out and just dunking in and out, you can assume that the ladle is actually kli sheni, the bowl is a kli shlishi, mutter to put challah inside of it.
And sorry, metal versus plastic ladles?
All the same.
Okay, even though the metal heats up like faster?
Again, still a different vessel. That's why I say that's another good iteration to the same point, that it's a question of what number of vessel are we talking about, and therefore how similarly does it replicate or does it appear to be actual bishul? Is it real bishul or is it not bishul? Right. Again, it's much more a function of kind and mode than it is a strictly an issue or a question of temperatures. Okay, one last question here on the chat. One second. Better to serve soup into a separate tureen, kli sheni, and use a ladle as a kli shlishi. It's going above and beyond. You can. I mean, again, we're not machmir on cooking after baking. In a kli shlishi, and for that purpose, because this is a chumra to begin with, we assume that the ladle is really a kli sheni. So maybe that helps in terms of practically, you don't have to be as careful about did I leave the ladle in the pot, did I not leave the ladle in the pot. So it helps if it helps you just manage things in your own mind, then that's fine. It's not necessary though. You can consider that kli sheni, can consider the ladle, I'm sorry, to be a kli sheni, as long as it's not left submerged inside of the pot for an extended period of time. Okay, all. So let's hold it here. Thanks, everyone. And looking forward again to next week, Mirtzeh Hashem, plowing through Bishul together. Thanks for making the time, everyone. Have a wonderful night.
Thank you.
Thank you.